me, then I got key. Come over here and dance with me. I see your body look so heavenly. Baby girl, you're delicious to me. Bala puff of all, part of me. I'm the type that's right, and my game is tight. And I see, baby girl, you're looking alright. So what you got, a man, we ain't here tonight. Your body is sin, and it makes me grin. So I submit to drink, so I get to win.
Hey, hey, happy Friday. This is Ray, that's Tall Rayside.
And this is Tay, Eric Taylor, and definitely hyped up, man, on a Friday. All types of news and all types of stuff, so we are going to get into it. Give us a call if you want to join us and call in and talk to us on this journey, 718-664-9098. Also, you can hit us up at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. We'll definitely get to an email or two today. And then on the Twitter, it's Ray and Tay Today, and the Facebook as well. So we just thank everybody, and people are definitely checking us and getting involved. And it's good, man. This is a good Friday, good show. We got a lot to talk about, so Ray will break it on down for you.
Yeah. Like Tay said, we appreciate the support. Keep the love. Keep sending emails and Facebook and Twitter and all that. We love it. It's interactive, and it's a show for talking sports with friends. So what do we have for you this Friday? Well, it's very juicy. So, yeah, breaking news. We'll get into it. Mike Brown, after a 1-4 start, was fired by the Lakers. We'll get into that. We'll talk a little bit about the kickoff of the college basketball season, the winding down of the NASCAR Cup Series. We'll talk about this Thursday night football game, if you even consider it a game. Blowout. We'll go through our top matchups in NFL this week. There's one matchup in college football, but really it's NFL Week 10. And then on our Top 5 Friday segment, all you guards out there with your shake and bake, Lamar Mundane, you know, everybody's got some skills out there in the backcourt, point guards, shooting guards. We're going to do our top five backcourts, NBA backcourts. And then at the end of the show, we'll have some general NBA talk. So real juicy stuff on this Friday. But, Tay, let's kick it off. Mike Brown, after a 1-4 start, was let go. First of all, what do you think about it? And then let's talk about who the Lakers are going to replace him with.
Well, I guess the first thing is, you know, sorry for Mike Brown. Everybody likes him. He's a great guy.
Universal consensus is he is a nice guy. Nobody says about him that he's
a bad guy. Yeah, yeah, no. He's a class act all the way and was a, you know, good, you know, he was a successful head coach at Cleveland and, you know, defensive specialist with George Popovich at the Spurs. I kind of felt like it was coming. I just think that Kobe, Nash, these guys, they weren't really loving this Princeton. They weren't too excited about it. It wasn't taking. And I think at the end of the day, Kobe's getting older. He's, you know, might not play any further past this contract this year and next year. And it's like, you know what? We ain't got time to play. We're trying to win. And I think you could see his support for Mike Brown, but also just the reality is his disgust. And I guess the reality is that there wasn't enough going on defensively. And, look, you know, you can't punish Mike Brown because Howard's not 100%. But even from last year, then the preseason 0-8, then 1-4, it just was the wrong move. And I think
If you want to play devil's advocate, can you really fire a guy five games? Forget about the preseason because veterans don't take the preseason seriously. So can you really fire a guy 1-4? The only
you can if you're the Lakers. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's not. It's you know what it
then
is. It's not about that.
Why start the season with him is my question. Why start the season with him? If you're going to fire him at one and four, why start the season?
Because I think that they thought it would just naturally work, right? I really feel that they didn't think that it would be this difficult for them to gel and have success. I said this last night on H2G Radio. I said, honestly, I feel one of the big issues is they don't have enough perimeter shooting. Jody Meeks is okay, and that's good, but it's not enough. And I think the issue is you don't have a real backup point guard or a defensive point guard to Nash, right, to offshoot him. And then when you only have Jody Meeks and Jameson is looking a little old, you know, you miss a Matt Barnes. You miss somebody on the three, the perimeter, because, you know, Ebanks is not really it. You know, he's not Trevor Ariza.
That's on Kupchak, not on Brown.
Yeah. Well, you know, he did some good moves, right? He got him some talent, and I like Jameson and Jordan Hill, and Blake is okay. But I just think that at the end of the day for this system, you know, Jim Buss, Jerry Buss' son, was the one that really hired Mike Brown. And I think, you know, the heads all came together and they were like, look, Jim, sorry, but Mike's not going to work out for us. We got to change this now. And I think that's it. Now, do you want D'Antoni? Do you want Sloan? Do you want Brian Shaw? Do you call Phil Jackson up off the mountain and peyote and all that and get him in? We'll see what happens. For me, with this team and Steve Nash, and, you know, possibly the pick and roll with him and Howard, I would say, you know, and I don't love him, but I might love him for this team. Mike D'Antoni might be the answer. Now, he did just have a surgery, they said, so I don't know if he's healthy enough to be on the sidelines. So we'll see what's going on with him. But he might be the answer, because remember, Kobe and him have good relationship from the Olympics.
Right, right. But the problem is he's an offensive coach, and the theory with bringing in Mike Brown was that a defensive coach would put you over the edge because you've got enough veterans and talent on offense. So I got to believe that Nash, Howard, and Kobe on offense are going to work itself is going to work itself out. So the question is, I don't actually mind having a guy with a defensive philosophy in there for the Lakers. But I don't know if I'm a Laker fan and I'm hanging out in Laker Nation by the Staples Center, you know, trying to petition, you know, head coaches to come coach this team, because really the window is shutting on Kobe. You know, my guy, you know, we talked about this a little bit, Jerry Sloan, you know, the names that are thrown out there, Phil Jackson, to me, once that ship has sailed, it's sailed, although he did come back last time to win his you know, final two championships on that back-to-back.
I think it's a health issue. Yeah,
so he's a health issue, plus he can't travel, his back is this, is that. So take Phil Jackson out. Mike Dunleavy, to me, Mike Dunleavy was never really that good. They ran him out.
Yeah, I don't think they're really considering Clippers. Dunleavy. I don't think
Yeah, so then you're talking about Jerry Sloan. To me, Jerry Sloan, his offense is so strict. It's so disciplined, and that's one of the reasons why Deron Williams and he couldn't get along, because Deron Williams wanted the flexibility and the freedom to do his thing as a point guard. So
I think Kobe and him would bump heads. You got to consider Nate McMillan as well, though.
Yeah, he would bump heads, exactly. So I don't think Jerry Sloan works there. So really, it comes down to me, you know, the two guys they were looking at before they hired Mike Brown were Rick Adelman and Brian Shaw. And to me, those two still makes sense. Obviously, Rick Adelman's got his issue. And Brian Shaw, you know, nobody's going to let, like Kupchak said, nobody's going to let a coach out of a contract in the middle of the season. So,
it'll be hard to get Brian Shaw from the Pacers. He's an assistant over there. We'll see what happens. But I think Mike D'Antoni is probably going to wind up being the Lakers head coach.
You think so?
You know, we shall definitely see. But listen, let's talk about some other news. It looks like tonight the Knicks play the Mavericks. Sean Marion will probably be out of the game. Anthony Davis, it looks like he'll return for the Hornets. I think they're playing the Jazz, maybe on ESPN after the college basketball, to you know, from his concussion. And it looks like your boy DeMarco Murray, you know, might be a game-time decision. You know, they're saying he could be out, he could try. But Percy Harvin, what do you think about that? He's got some serious foot issues, was limping around. I think, you know, Percy Harvin might be out on Sunday's game against the Lions, and you got AP, who was sick.
He's doubtful.
Yeah, well, he's doubtful, but AP will play. He was just, you know, sick with a bad cold. So, you know, some interesting little tidbits of different things. And then also with the Pacers, you know, with them not having Danny Granger, they might be signing Mikal Peartress, you know, who, you know, did good for Boston and Orlando.
I think he's a good role player. You know, he plays D, shoots, shoots those threes.
Oh, they need him because he's another scorer. And right now the Pacers cannot score. The other night against the Spurs, they had 79 points. So they need all the help they can get.
Yeah, and Andrew Bogut's still not healthy. He's going to miss another week and a half. I really want to see that Warriors team fully healthy, right?
Yeah, and they play the Lakers tonight at LA, because LA's about to have a six-game homestand. So, you know, for you NBA League pass heads, you'll be able to check out Golden State and the Lakers. So,
yeah, 10:30 Eastern.
Yeah, man, we'll see what happens. So listen, let's get a little off the topic of what we normally talk about. And let's, you know, listen, there's two races left in the Chase NAS Cup Series. And, you know, I mean, look, Jimmy Johnson's in first. You got your boy.
He's unbelievable, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Jimmy
and going
really
for his sixth championship. But you got your boy
six
Brad.
6 and 7 years. He won 5 in
yeah.
a row. Didn't win last year. And if he wins now, it's 6 and 7 years. I mean, that's
And Brad
really
Kilowa- cool. What is this? Brad Kilowski?
Brad Kozlowski, yeah.
Kozlowski at second place.
And
Clint
he's really
Boyer.
The only one that has a chance. I mean,
well,
Clint,
no. Clint Boyer's in third, right? And so he's,
right,
you know, depending on how these
go.
Other guys finish, he's still got a shot, even if they're, because you know what's so funny? The last 2 years, the second place person going into the last 2 weeks was the one who won it. So, you know, I guess they both
they
have
would
a
have
shot.
To really blow up in you know, oh, God, I can't use those terms, right, in car racing.
No.
They would really have to really tank it, Jimmy Johnson and Brad Kozlowski for Clint Boyer or even Casey Kane to who's
right,
in
Casey
fourth
Kane
place.
Is in fourth, right, yeah. But sometimes with these crashes, you just don't know, you know, how cats are really, you know, gonna finish.
Right. But, look, realistically, though, it's a two-man race. It's Jimmy Johnson and Brad Kozlowski, and they got those two races, right, in your neck of the woods in Arizona and then back in Miami Homestead.
Well, you know, and they said with Kozlowski, he hasn't raced well except for this year in Phoenix. He hasn't done too well. But this year he actually did well in the race out here in Phoenix. So, well, you know, we'll see what happens. And for you NASCAR heads, you know, we'll break it down as obviously when we get into the last race and update you and tell you who wins. But, yeah, man, it should be interesting. We'll see. Also, they're doing the Silver Slugger Awards, actually, I think right now on the Baseball Network. So we'll see who wins some of these batting awards. And as we start to get into the baseball awards next week, which will be kind of interesting, what's going on.
Yeah,
but
well,
let's talk about the let's talk about the non-game last night. What'd you think? I mean, we both had the Colts, so I mean, it wasn't any
yeah.
surprise.
Yeah, you know, the more I think about it,
6-3.
This Jacksonville
right?
team, this Jacksonville team could go 0-16 if it weren't for the fact that Cecil Shorts, who by the way caught. Got our boy G Money over 100 yards.
106 yards and a touchdown. You got to like that
right,
for fantasy owners,
eight
right?
8 receptions, 106 yards and a touchdown. That's you know
a,
that's pretty good. 8 you know,
good
six
game.
Sorry, 6 for 105 and a touchdown.
Yeah.
But here's the thing: if you remember, in that second week of the season, he caught that ball up the middle and was it like a 70-yard touchdown? And they ended up winning that, going to overtime and winning that game. If it weren't for them beating Indianapolis on that crazy comeback, they'd be 0-8. This Jacksonville
right, and,
team is
But they
terrible.
Might be able to get another win or two if everybody comes
sure.
back healthy. If
I'm
Maurice
not
comes
sure.
back
MJD
healthy.
Doesn't come back till week 12 or 13, and, you know, I got him on fantasy, so I need him to come back for the fantasy playoffs. But
yeah.
if they're without Jones-Drew, and I was never a Gabbert fan to begin with, and then – Laurent Robinson coming back helps them a lot, but they were really hoping that Justin Blackmon would take some pressure off. And Rashad Jennings is—he's a decent fill-in, but he's really not.
No, he had like 27
energy.
Yards, man. It's disgusting.
Yeah,
they're
in bad shape.
But you know, I guess the real thing is the Colts, right? I mean, Andrew Luck—he gets 2 rushing touchdowns. They look good. Reggie Wayne, 8 for 96, who's leading the NFL in receptions with 69 receptions. I think their
fantasy.
Defense is stepping up. The defense is stepping up. Your boy Butler from UConn ran it back for a touchdown. And I like this team at 6-3. The Colts are really going to stay alive, I believe, and fight for a wild card. When you look at their remaining schedule, they got a shot to win 3 or 4 of those games. So,
yeah, look,
you know,
they
if they can get to 10 wins, they're gonna be a player.
It's going to be real hard, but, look, they play New England and they play Houston twice. Now, the good thing is they play Houston in week 15 and week 17. Houston,
exactly.
by week 17, might have
Could
everything
be resting
wrapped
their starters.
Up. So
yeah.
they might be resting their starters. Although, Green Bay did that last year, with that 15-1 season, and it really came back to haunt them, right?
Right, right.
So
but
maybe,
you know what
maybe
some
they
teams
played
do?
It a little bit.
They treat it, some teams will treat it like a preseason where, like, their starters might play the first quarter or first half.
Right.
You know, and I think that's something that could still benefit the Colts. So we'll see how it plays out. We'll definitely see how it plays out. It's gonna be a little juicy. So you know what? Let's take a quick break and then let's jump into what Ray and Tay both love: some college sports. We'll get into some college football.
College.
And to some college basketball. We'll be right back, Ray and Tay.
We're back.
Yes, sir.
And talking some college.
Well,
so
listen,
first,
there's not too much in college football this week,
exactly.
Right? So we got the
two top 25 matchups, right? Oregon State,
yeah.
Stanford. So that's on Saturday at 3 o'clock. And then the one we'll talk about is Texas A&M against Alabama.
At Alabama, 15 and number one.
Right.
Well, it's all about Johnny Football, right? Your boy, you love him, and I think he's pretty good, Johnny Manziel.
That's my man, Johnny Manziel.
But let me ask you this, right? I mean, look, we saw what Bama did, man, against LSU, and just I don't know if Texas A&M, honestly, I don't think their defensive line is big enough to handle Alabama's offensive line and running and McLaren and some of those receivers. I think Bama is just physically going to dominate them, and I think they can contain Johnny Manziel. And I think, you know, he'll put up some points, but I said at the end of the day, it's going to be close, but they might pull away at the end, something like 27-14.
Okay.
27-14, Bama.
I actually think that Johnny Manziel is too important to that Texas A&M offense. So if you give Nick Saban a target and basically tell him shut down one guy on that team, because you realize that Johnny Manziel is their leading rusher. Johnny Manziel has rushed for, forget about the fact that he's thrown for 2,500 yards, 16 touchdowns, and 6 interceptions.
He's Elvis. He's a hero to most.
900 yards. He is a hero to most. He's rushed for 900 yards, which is more than T.J. Yeldon and Lacey, Alabama's rushers, right? So Johnny Manziel, if you stop him, you shut that Texas A&M offense down. And like you said, I don't know that they're physical enough, and I don't know that they're big enough to move around that Alabama defensive line and even the linebackers. So too much pressure on Johnny Manziel, and I think that his great season comes to – I mean, this doesn't negate his season, but I just don't think he'll be able to move the crowd against Alabama. So I look for Alabama to take care of business. Exactly. I look for Alabama to take care of business in Tuscaloosa. Texas A&M, 7-2 so far this season, but I think they catch the L here.
Stop delaying. Give me a score.
You and your scores. You love the predicting the scores.
Listen, you got to put it down, man. It's my word is bond, playboy.
Okay. All right. So I like Alabama 28-17. So very similar to your score, but I think Texas A&M can only score 2 touchdowns here in Tuscaloosa, if that.
Okay. Well, you know, it's going to be an adventure. McLaren's, he still has I can't say. Both of them still could have an outside shot to
being
invited to the Heisman, but we'll see. So, listen, now we got to switch to it's Friday. And tonight is really the official start of the college basketball season. I mean, you got Georgia State, Duke, but you got the Armed Forces game coming on ESPN right now. You got Michigan State against Connecticut and that.
Yeah,
and Connecticut's
10-4.
Yep. Well, you know, and they got some good guard play. We'll talk about that. And then we've got the Maryland Terrapins. Yo, Terps! Against the number 3 Kentucky Wildcats at the Barclays Classic in Brooklyn, baby. So the one thing that's interesting about this Connecticut team, and it's kind of sad, right? They lose their coach. Your boy Drummond leaves early. You know, they lose, Jeremy Lamb who leaves early. Alex Ariake transfers to Missouri. And your boy Roscoe Brown transfers to UNLV. All they really have is, in terms of tested and tournament, your boy Napier.
He's the only one left.
Shabazz. So they're guard heavy. They got Omar Calhoun, the top recruit from New York City, from Christ the King, the guard with maybe
Middle Village, New York. Shout out to Middle Village. Anybody in Queens knows about Christ the King.
Yeah, Christ the King. They've had some players, boy. So this is not, you know, and shout out to Kevin Ollie, right? You know, it's his first time as a head coach in college basketball, and you just hope, you know, that they can be somewhat competitive, you know, for the Big East. But, you know, it's going to be rough for UConn this season. But I definitely think the guard play will be good if anybody big can step up for them and get some rebounds. But Michigan State, you know, Izzo, he's a great recruiter. He retools. And being 15, you know, he just does what he needs to do to get some dogs that can, you know, you just wonder where he gets these kids from, and all of a sudden they can play, and then 2-3 years later they're like, you know, in the tournament and a first round pick going in the draft, like your boy Draymond Green. So
yeah,
it should be interesting.
Yeah, their guard. You know, they've got, I don't know, they're a 15 ranked team, but it's probably one of those teams that wait for February and March for them to really gel, because they had a lot of
big
turnover.
Listen,
the
Big Ten is tough, right? They're in a big, you know, Big Ten that's heavy this year with some, you know, obviously we talked about your boy Burks from Michigan. Indiana's got their players, Zeller, and you know, the whole Big Ten is
going to be. Ohio State,
Ohio
they got
State.
The three out of the six All-Americans were out of the big, first team All-Americans were out
so,
of the Big Ten.
So, you know, Michigan State is sort of in the background of the Big Ten guys. So,
by the way, can we change the name of the conference already? Because this is ridiculous. They got 12 teams
in the conference.
I know, but
you can't do that because you already have a
Big
12. What do you want to call them?
Come up with a new name, because not only is it a misnomer, it's misleading. So they got away with it for 15 years with Penn State as the Big 10, and they were the Big 11, but now they're the Big 10 with 12 teams.
I know, but that's semantics. It only bothers you.
It bothers me. And then they
it
came up with these corny legends, and just leave me alone.
Legends, you don't like legends and leaders? I'm in the legends and the leaders division.
Exactly. They thought it'd be too hokey to do East West.
Hey, listen, I hope
South
our Michigan
like everybody
college
else.
Football. I hope our Wolverines can beat Nebraska this weekend. Shout out to them, man. You know the Wolverines. Michigan. We definitely. But listen, let's talk about my Terps. Okay, this is nice because Maryland has got some decent recruits. They got Alex Len, and then going up against Kentucky's big stud, Nerlens Noel.
Nerlens.
Anybody,
can I ask
anybody
you where
saw
that name is from? Nerlens.
Yeah, well,
I like that
listen,
name.
But you know, he got the flat top. I like the flat top, and you know,
flat top is back. The high top fade.
Yeah, well, a lot of cats. Listen, shout out to Big Daddy Kane and Kid and Play, but yo, come on. I don't
Scoop
and Scoop and Scrap Lover.
Scoop
got a shot at Scoop
and
Scrap Lover. That's right, baby.
Oh
so, and it's so funny, right? Because that's where it originates from, Pimpin' Ain't Easy. So shout out to Jay Robinson in our fantasy football league,
Jay
my cousin Rob. Right there. You
first
know what I'm saying? Cause that's where that comes from, for ladies and gentlemen, in hip hop history. You know, Pimpin' Ain't Easy. That's that Scoop and Scrap Lover thing that it came right there. But you know, Gary Williams is gone for a couple years now, and we got Mark Turgeon. Of course, Calipari, the greatest recruiter possibly ever, he's going to go down, right? You know,
probably
ahead of Dean Smith, and Dean got some great talent, but I think I think this guy and Calipari.
Maybe John Wooden
Boeheim
is the only one that could deal with, you know, he would get the top guy in the nation, you know, but Calipari gets, you know, five of the top 20 kids in the nation to come.
Yeah, he's getting like a top family. He's getting,
exactly.
I'm not getting the number one player. I'm getting like
Paulie
the top
Stein
family.
And Goodwin and Noel. I mean, this guy's is recruiting. And you know what? I'd love to sit in the living room when John Calipari shows up, because if what he says is true, then I have the ultimate respect for him. He comes into the living room and basically says, look, it's not easy. You're going to play defense. It's going to be hard. You're going to compete.
Yeah.
You're not going to be the man like you were in high school. Because a lot of coaches will come into a kid's living room and tell his parents how great he is, how you're going to be all good, how I'm going to get you to the NBA, how just come with me and it'll all work itself out. But Calipari apparently walks in there and he's got enough credibility that he can just step in there and say, look, it's not easy. You're going to play hard. I'm not going to
share the ball.
Shots. I'm not going to guarantee you minutes. But if you are the cream of the crop, you know, it'll everything will take care of itself. And he's got enough of a track record where kids are just banging down his door to go to Kentucky.
Yeah. Well, you know why? Because it's like, look, what does he have to say? Number one is Kentucky, one of the top three programs in college basketball, right? Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina. Then it's like, look at his track record. Derrick Rose, Tariq Evans, you know, all these guys like John Wall. What do you have to say? He don't have to say nothing, man. I'm like, Calipari, sign me up. He's got the NBA experience as a coach, and he's won everywhere. He won at UMass, won in Memphis, won in Kentucky. You know, he's...
Shh, don't talk about UMass. Those victories were vacated.
Come on, man.
Marcus Camby.
I don't want to hear that.
I saw that Southeast Regional. I was down in Atlanta when it was Marcus
Camby. That UMass
Camby
team was nice,
UMass,
man.
And Allen Iverson and his Georgetown team.
What was my
was
man
good.
From Dante Bright?
Oh, my God, yeah. Those UMass teams were good. I'm telling you. Shout out to UMass, University of Massachusetts Amherst. If you don't know, go look
now
at those
you know.
Tapes. Marcus Camby and that UMass team.
That was fun.
That was a lot of fun, man.
You know, so listen, so we're excited. Listen, we're definitely going to, you know, get you involved in the college basketball season. Obviously, we kind of told you we like Tar Heels and St. John's. You know, Ray and I, for those who don't know and didn't get to go back, you can go back to the podcast on iTunes, right, or on Blog Talk Radio, / Ray and Tay Today, and listen to our first show ever, September 4th, and you can hear our sports allegiance and who our teams are. And college basketball, man, we're both Tar Heel fans, and we both like St. John's. For me, you know, I'm a big Maryland Terrapin fan. That's my heart because I went there. But we are Tar Heel fans to the end, to the izzy end. So, well, you ready? You ready for week 10? You smell?
Woo!
I think you're struggling in fantasy football. Are you really ready for the playoffs?
I'm ready.
Are you ready
I'm
for this playoff
five
run?
And four. I turned the corner. I started out 0-2, but I turned the corner. I'm 5-2 in the last seven. I'm ready. I didn't get much from Rashad Jennings last
two.
Night. But I got my man, Reggie Wayne, to do his thing for me. So,
Victor
yeah, I
Cruz, baby.
I need to win this game. Jimmy. I need a big game from Jimmy Graham. I need my Chicago Bears defense to not give up too many points to the Houston Texans, although I think
yeah.
the Texans will be fine.
Well, you know, I got my Seahawks defense against the Jets, and anybody going to Seattle, and I heard it's going to be some cold, rainy weather out there, I'm loving it because Sanchez will give me some interceptions.
Yes,
so
he
I'm
will.
Excited.
So,
well,
yeah,
let's look at the first game.
Week 10 in
this
the NFL.
This is what I call the suck Super Bowl. With these teams' records, right, we shouldn't even talk about it. We should talk about Detroit, Minnesota. But you have to talk about it because it's the NFC East and it's the Dallas Cowboys at the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't even know what to say except for what I said last weekend on Facebook and Twitter. This is the suck Super Bowl. Both teams are a freaking mess, turnovers, not being clutch, too much
discipline.
Talent, not enough discipline, not enough fundamentals, not enough running the ball, injuries, offensive line issues. For me, I honestly feel like there's no reason why the Cowboys shouldn't win this game just because the Eagles' offensive line is so bad, and I know they're making some adjustments this week, but I just got a funny feeling.
It's in
because
Philly,
it's
though.
The NFC East, and it is a division game. The Eagles will wake up. Your boy Shady McCoy, a little hurt the other day in practice, but he'll be fine. I think DeMarco Murray will not play, and I think
yeah, he's out.
That it's
he's
just
been ruled out.
Okay, so it's official. I guess he didn't really do what they wanted him to do today at practice, and I just think the Eagles are going to pull out a close one, 24-20. The Eagles pull it out and beat the talented Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, look, I'm a Cowboy fan, and can we agree that both of these teams are not going to make the playoffs? But can we definitely agree that the loser of this game at 3-6 really has no chance to make the playoffs? I guess
and should probably break up the bunch.
Do, but
the loser should break up the bunch.
Yeah, arguably both teams should be broken up. You know, we talked about this a little bit, how that triumvirate of on the Dallas side of Jerry Jones, Jason Garrett, and Tony Romo, you know, Jones not going anywhere. So he's the.
I don't think Romo's going anywhere. You're not going to find nobody to replace him that's better than him.
Well, I don't know. They got
to renew his contract. Okay, stop. Who? Tell me, who in the heck? Right. At least you can say with the Eagles, maybe they take a shot next year. You just give the reins to the rookie. That's fine. Who is out there that's better than Romo?
I agree for the regular season. The problem is if you think that Romo is fundamentally flawed and he's going to make the mistake to shoot himself in the foot, then he's not your guy, then determine that sooner than later. Now, I would argue I'm
can you trade him to get Matt Barkley and get the first or second pick if you believe in Barkley or if you believe in one of these quarterbacks?
I don't believe in Matt Barkley, though. I don't think he's
– but there's no quarterback. I don't believe in Barkley. I don't believe in Geno Smith, and I don't believe in what's the other guy that's out there that they've been talking about?
McCarron or
well, McCarron's Klein, but no, oh gosh, I'm drawing a blank. But Barkley.
Anyway,
none of the
look. I mean, I guess my
Landry
point
Jones.
Is
Landry
Jones.
Landry Jones. I don't believe in anybody in college to say I will break up my team and scratch it and start all over. And I don't know if there's anybody to trade for.
Here's the problem. Then if that's the case, you got to get a better disciplinarian as a coach. And
well, that's what I'm saying. To me, Garrett's the one that should go. But they just keep blowing up smoke up his butt and, Jerry Jones' son is giving him a vote of confidence and we like him. And, of course, that's what he's supposed to do. And they did that to Wade Phillips as well before they fired him. But I don't know.
Let's get off this game because I feel dirty, man. Both of these teams are terrible. They're getting too much love from us. I'm
all right,
a Cowboy.
All right, so who do you want to look at next?
Terrible. You know what? Let's look at A Tale of Two Cities. You know, if you read that in high school, that was a long book. But you got the Atlanta Falcons at 8-0.
Cliff notes.
And you've got the New Orleans Saints at 3-5. So really, two teams that you thought would be fighting for the NFC South, and really only one of them showed up to play this year, and that's the Atlanta Falcons. But,
hey, that's the past. Sunday, 11-11. You ready for that? 11-11-12? I don't think you're ready for that. Okay. This is a new day, and it's a new time, and I think the undefeated Falcons are going down. I got the Saints. They're at home. The momentum. I think this team is going to make a heroic run to probably maybe even get a wild card or at least fall
really?
A game short. Even maybe fall a game short. But they are going to make one heck of a run in the second half of the season. It's a long football season. It's only 8 games they've played. And I think that they're going to win this game 27-24. And I think the Saints are going to run it enough with Pierre Thomas. Get it out to Henderson, Coastin, Moore, Graham.
My man Jimmy Graham, I need you. I need your fantasy.
Yeah, I need Roddy White, but I just think that they'll be able to do enough at home, and that crowd is going to have them hyped up. And I think it might be a time where we see Matt Ryan make some mistakes.
Really? So the good
yeah.
thing is, I guess, that the Saints D might get some sacks and maybe create a turnover. But they are borderline historically bad, this Saints defense, which I don't know why, because on personnel-wise, I don't think – I look up and down their roster, and I don't think they're that bad. So I don't know what's happening on the field, and I don't know why Haslett can't get them to play the type of D that he's, you know, gotten former, you know, players to play.
But I think it's
changing.
I think it's changing.
I actually agree with you. I think that New Orleans, because of their explosiveness on offense and because the fact that they can take a body blow and even go down 2 touchdowns and win at home, I think a turnover here, a turnover there, and they get the ball in the fourth quarter and they win a high-scoring game. So maybe they put up on that pretty tough Atlanta D, but maybe they put up 35 and maybe they give up 28. Or 31, but I think I agree with you. I think New Orleans wins this game. I think Atlanta is not as solid, and I shouldn't say that. They're very solid. But
yeah, they're very solid.
Not explosive 8-0 team.
That's what your boy John Madden called them. John Madden was like, they're solid.
Yeah? Well, yep. Okay, I didn't even hear that, but yeah, John.
Yeah,
with the turducken. You got to get your turducken ready, man. It's a couple of weeks, Thanksgiving.
Don't you miss Madden? You got to miss him.
You know, even with his foolishness, he was entertaining and he was funny.
He's
and
the
he
best.
Put the fun back into football.
Because, like we say,
know?
Right? Sports is to relieve you from everything else, and sometimes people take it too serious. Madden, he gave you, and he look, he knew his stats, he knew the game, but he gave you just silliness and humor and such an obtuse sense of you know of the game and just. He was hilarious, man. He gave you such a bizarre way of breaking it down and, you know, talking, you know, sound effects of boom, boom, and this guy just
and
will boom,
beat,
boom,
beat.
And run
That's
you over
the
truck.
There was nobody like him before.
Yeah. Yeah, he was great. All right, so you got the Saints, too.
Yeah, I sure do.
Okay. I'm not mad at you. Well, let's go down to the other who dat. Let's go to Cincinnati. He was kind of struggling. Statistically, they're doing not so bad, right, Dalton and A.J. Green. But the Giants coming in, and A.J. Green was on WFAN saying that the Giants defense has some holes. Oof. I don't know if A.J. Green wants to talk that mess when that offensive line is not so great and Dalton could be having a rough game on his back if that Giants NASCAR package gets going. Now, lately they haven't been, you know, playing the best defense, but I think the Giants, you know, they lost a tough one. They've been through a lot, but I think after Hurricane Sandy and losing to the Steelers, I think it's going to be a break, getting away from it all, going on the road, backs against the wall, people starting to wonder, you know, oh, the Giants in November, da-da-da. No. Giants are going to go to Cincy, and they're going to end the Bengals season this Sunday. It's a wrap for the Bengals. The Giants win 27-23. Eli does it again, fourth quarter. Giants have a good game. And by the way, your boy Nix is back really healthy. The swelling has gone down in the knee, and you're going to see that offensive attack get going again with a healthy Nix and Victor Cruz.
Okay. I agree
Victor
with
Cruz,
everything
baby.
You said. Except for some reason, and I've been calling this team wrong all year, but I think for some reason that the Bengals put it together. I think the Giants overlooked the Bengals a little bit. I think that ultimately the Giants have their sights obviously on the NFC East and then on the NFC and then on the Super Bowl, and they're like, okay, we're going to this interdivisional league, you know, interleague play. We're going to the Bengals. We're going to the AFC North. I think they take them for granted a little bit. And the Giants,
ooh,
as we know.
But they already started talking smack. How are you going to take them for granted? When
yeah,
you know A.J.
They
Green is nice.
But they look at that team and they think, okay, they're 1-5. You know, Ben-Jarvis Green-Ellis isn't doing what he should.
3-5,
coming over from the Patriots. Andy Dalton's having a little bit of a sophomore slump. If we can shut down A.J. Green, we're really not scared of the other guys, of Hawkins and Gresham, and we're not really scared of them.
And
so,
Bins.
Yeah, Bins and, yeah, Mohamed Sanu. Yeah,
yeah,
they're
they
not.
Shouldn't be scared. They should not be scared.
Yeah, but you
listen,
can't
you bring
be,
Roll off the top with the as the safety and double A.J. Green.
Underestimate professionals, right? The team across the ball is professional as well. They're getting paid. So, I mean, I don't have a real reason to say this because on paper the Giants should win 9.5 times out of 10.
It's
but
just in your gut.
In my gut. I think.
You know what it is? It's deep down inside as a Cowboy fan. This is your wishful thinking.
Well,
so you woke
it's
up out of a dream.
Thinking, but I'm even
you woke up
that
out of a dream
thinking
just thinking the Cowboys will win and beat the Eagles. The Redskins are on a bye, and the Bengals will step up and win against the Giants, and the Cowboys will have a glimmer of hope and rekindle their life. Yay!
We'll pick up a game on the Giants.
Listen,
but I don't think that's
give me,
why.
Listen, you're going to talk that mess to me? Give me a score so we can get to the next game. I don't want to hear
right.
you.
All right. I like the Bengals 27-24.
27-24. Oh, yeah, I got to shout out my boy, man, who handles my money, my homie, Brian from Chase Bank. He's going to check out Ray and Tay today, so I definitely want to shout him out, man. And he was breaking down his fantasy teams for me, so he's just a great guy and real funny with some fantasy football talk. So hopefully he's listening and stuff. Now, listen, this is a game. This is going to be exciting, and I'm telling you now, Watch Freeman of Vincent Jackson. He might have 10 catches for 200 yards. Tampa Bay against San Diego. San Diego's going down to Tampa.
Two teams at 4-4, so really very important games for the playoffs for both of these teams.
And
the loser.
And listen, you could argue that right now Phillip Rivers, Josh Freeman, you know, you could say Josh Freeman is somebody you might take over Phillip right now. Phillip was one of them top gunslingers, but he's putting together a season and a half of not some great football for whatever the reason. And Freeman is looking like he's finally got some toys, and he's getting better. So we'll see. I think it will hurt them eventually, losing the guard from New Orleans that they signed, Knicks, for Tampa. I mean, Doug Martin should be able to do
Dougie
a little
Fresh
something.
Well, Dougie Fresh still ran for 251 last week.
No, that's what I'm saying, but it was the Raiders. But I think he should still be able to crack 100 against the Chargers. I just think it's really going to be a shootout. I honestly think it's going to be like 33-30, and I think Tampa pulls it out at home. I just think that they've got a magic going that I think will continue, and I think they play great at home. They're good on the road, but they play great at home.
Yeah, I like Tampa in this game, too. I mean, I like them in a close game. I think they'll win something like 24-23. And I like Josh Freeman. I mean, he's had some up and down. For a short career, he's had some high highs and some low lows, right?
Oh, yeah.
He had that great rookie year, and then Raheem Morris took over. And then, you know, his star faded. And then, yeah, he's doing his thing. But now with Jackson and if they can get
Mike Williams coming into his own and Dallas Clark.
And Dougie Fresh, Doug Martin, and LeGarrette Blount backing him up. You know, he's got some tools out there. And if they can get some consistent play from that offensive line and they can get something from that defense and they can hold home turf and they win this game 5-4, you know, they start thinking of playoffs are not out of the question. So yeah, I like the Tampa Bay team.
And be honest, you don't believe in Ryan Matthews. None of us do.
I actually like Ryan Matthews. If he can stay healthy, I think he's a player. I'm in the
when
Ryan
and
Matthews
where
camp.
When is it gonna happen and where? When can he put two or three good weeks in a row? That's what I need to see. Then I can start to believe
point.
In him.
That's
until
a fair
then,
point.
Until then, I say good night, sir. Good night.
Riddance.
Good riddance.
All right, so let's do this. Let's talk about the best football game of the week, and NBC's
I'm so excited about. Listen, every Sunday and Monday, usually they're pretty good games. This is going to be probably one of the games of the year, right?
Of the year, sure.
Yeah, I mean, we thought Green Bay and the Texans would be good, and Green Bay just put it to them. But the Bears and Texans is going to be number one. Two of the hottest defenses. You know, we talked about our midseason players of the year. We both talked about J.J. Watt and Charles Tillman, whose wife is having a baby on Monday, so he'll be there. You know what I think it comes down to is turnovers, and Ken, Jay Cutler – handled that pressure because their offensive line is not so great. You know, can he get the screen passes to Forte? Can he sort of dump it off a little bit to, you know, Brandon Marshall, you know, doing slants or, you know, short curls because he might not have the time? Can he get it to the tight end, Kellen Davis? I think for some reason at home, I don't know if I trust the Texans yet on the road, and I think that they're going to get to Schaub in terms of picking him off. I could see Jennings or Tillman getting one for his newborn, you know, his baby coming. I could see them picking off Schaub once or twice. And remember this, Owen Daniels is out. He's not going to play. And that's a big piece of their offense. They do have other tight ends, and they could let James Casey, who plays running back and tight end, and some of those guys do stuff. But they're going to miss Owen Daniels. He's their guy, and he's been Schaub's really his favorite target besides Andre Johnson. So I think what's going to happen is you're going to have a close battle, but I think the Bears are going to win 24-23.
All right,
here's
the thing. We actually, you know, we said we get to some caller emails, and I actually have an email here from Stan in New Jersey who thankfully asked the same question that I would ask. So I'm going to ask his question, which is the same question that I had. First of all, Stan, man, thank you so much for your email. Hopefully you know, you guys are bouncing back there in Jersey from Hurricane Sandy or whatever they're calling it, Superstorm Sandy.
Appreciate that
you were able to take the time out to write us an email. We definitely wanted to get to your email, you know, being from New Jersey and the affected area there. But the question is, so back to the football question. The question is, and I have the same question. I don't have the same alternative he has, but he says, do I start the Chicago Bears defense this week or should I take Miami against Tennessee? So on any other week, you would say to yourself, okay, Chicago, one of the best defenses, you know, in the history of you know, so far through eight games. I mean, they're scoring at a crazy pace, but they're going up against, you know, one of the better, if not the best, most complete offenses in the league. And by the way, in some fantasy leagues, you can even go negative on defense depending on, you know, points scored. So Tay, I'll put that out there to you because I have the same question. Do I start the Bears defense this week?
I mean, one thing about Miami, their defense is good and it's improved, but I think it's getting a little overhyped. And Tennessee, the one thing I would watch out for, because I've you know, tried to pick up the Dolphins' defense and thought about it, but Chris Johnson, he might be able to run on them. And I do think Hasselbeck is heating up with Kendall Wright. Kenny Britt is a little inconsistent, but, you know, I think that you'll see some things with them being able to attack their corners. Their corners are young, and I think Nate Washington, Kendall Wright, maybe a little bit of Britt if he can get it going. I think Hasselbeck's a veteran. I would not, and I think Tennessee, you know, they might have something to prove, right? Their owner was just dissing them and questioning them and their ability and what they're doing. So, no, this is actually, it's a trap game. I think Tennessee, and I don't know if they're going to beat the Dolphins, but I think offensively both teams could go at it. So I actually think, I said 24-23, but I wouldn't be surprised if this game is 14-13 or 13-10 with the Bears and Texans. So I would definitely start that Bears defense, right? You don't get too cute sometimes with fantasy. Go with your number one dogs. The Bears defense is a must start this week. Must start. So I like that, though, man. I like, you know, definitely the emails. And, you know, I have one. But, I, you know, we'll, I'll, let's get into the basketball. I'll save it. You know, we'll save it for Monday.
Okay.
It's just a general question for the playoffs for fantasy. So I'll save that email for Monday. And let's go right into it, man. Our segment,
Top 5 Fridays. So it's Fridays. We like to do some segments on Friday. We got a Top 5 Friday. We're going to bring Hall of Fame Friday in. So if you got any questions for us, Top 5. We've been through a few Top 5 quarterbacks, Top 5 coaches, Top 5 names in sports, Top 5 announcers.
Broadcasters,
right. We're going to introduce our Hall of Fame segment. Is he a Hall of Famer? Is he not a Hall of Famer? So in this segment, why don't you tell them what we got, Tay?
Well, listen, let's break it down, man. The NBA season has started, and we're going to talk about right now the top five backcourt combos in the NBA. So point guard and shooting guard, the top five backcourts in the NBA. So for me, oh, man, you know, it's hard to just narrow it down to five, right? So Ray and I, we're funny guys. We always have an honorable mention. So I'll tell you my honorable mention and then my number five. Honorable mention, I got to go, like, way off the cuff because I think it's based really on potential and what they're going to do. So I like, for my honorable mention, I like Kyrie Irving and Dion Waiters. I think what I saw them do the other night, it's early, and I know I'm jumping the gun. People are like, Waiters, what? But I like Kyrie so much. Now, he's, like, fourth in the league in scoring right now. 24 games.
Oh, that's the Joe Pesci team. The two youths.
But I'm serious when I say this. They're no joke. And people are on call. You know, Kyrie took it to Chris Paul and beat the Clippers at L.A. Deion Waiters dropped 20. Kyrie had 20. I think that this team is for real. I mean, they could be 8th, 9th, 10th seed, but they're going to have a heck of a season, and they're going to be a backcourt combo for probably the next at least 10 years if everybody stays signed. But for my number five, man, I'm going to go with some old veterans, some cats that have a couple of rings, some jewelry. They could be ranked higher, but I just think where they're at now, this is reality. At number five, I've got Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili.
That is a backcourt for the ages. I don't think they've ever been the best backcourt, but I think they've always been a top five backcourt, and for me, they're still a top five backcourt. What can you say? I mean, they both have won. You see both of them, what they do in the Olympics, you know, for Argentina and for France, and I just love it, man. I think Tony Parker is easily a top 5 to 7 point guard in the league and is really the leader of the Spurs now. And Ginobili, he decides to come off the bench, but he's their main, you know, main shooting guard.
Right, it's a little bit of a
minutes.
Right.
And he's in there at the end of the game, so that's what really, you know, really matters and plays the most minutes. So I think, to me, that's my number five backcourt. The Spurs, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili.
Okay, I like that. I like that. So for me, my honorable mention is a backcourt that just came together this year. So that's Steph Curry and Klay Thompson at Golden State. And if you don't know about Klay Thompson, you better know, because he and Steph Curry may be the best shooting combination for threes, especially for fantasy and then for real NBA basketball in a while. These two guys can shoot. These guys are deadly. So if you're a defender, a wing defender against these two, you got to play them from 25 feet. So I really love that backcourt. So Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, to me, is my honorable mention. So I'm going to throw you for a little bit of a curve here. So I'm going to say Steph Curry and Klay Thompson is my honorable mention. My number five, you're not even going to know where I came from on this one.
Hit me.
Darren Collison and O.J. Mayo in Dallas.
Ooh.
I think this is O.J. Mayo's coming out party. I think he's a bit of a knucklehead ever since, you know, coming out of West Virginia, going to USC for that 1 year, and then going to the pros. I think he gets his feet under him in Dallas. He figures out his role. Dirk Nowitzki's the main man. Darren Collison feeds him the ball. He's had a couple of great games, 30-point games already. He's doing his thing. Darren Collison, very solid point guard out of UCLA. You know, sort of your prototypical, if he weren't so small, you'd say he's, you know, great prototypical NBA point guard. So I really like that backcourt there, Collison and Mayo. Look out for them. Dallas is going to do some things when Nowitzki comes back, and that backcourt's pretty solid to me. So number five backcourt.
All right, well, let's keep it moving against the clock. My number four. This is hard, man. I gotta go with Russell Westbrook and Kevin Martin. Could have been Harden.
Whoa, okay.
But now it's Russell Westbrook and Martin. I think,
even though Martin comes off the bench because it's Thabo Sefolosha.
Well,
starting.
Yeah, because
right,
he's taking the Harden role, but I think he'll start eventually. But what I like about them is that they can just put the bucket. They can put it in the bucket. Martin can get you 20 a game. He's averaging like 16, 17 already for the OKC. Russell Westbrook, to me, what he did in the playoffs, I don't care about, you know, oh, he's not pure with the assists. He doesn't do this. This guy can take over a game. He is a little bit almost explosive like Allen Iverson, but a little bit stronger, if that's the way I could think about him. You know, obviously he exploded from UCLA. You know, you like the way he is just becoming. He's really a winner. And I think that people wanted to criticize him, but he, when Durant's not doing it, he is the go-to guy, and you can count on him. And what I like about him is that other teams cannot stop him. So he can always get to the lane. He can always get to the bucket. So that's my number four.
Okay.
I'm going with Westbrook.
So my number four.
And Martin.
Oh, go ahead.
No, that's it. Westbrook and Martin.
All right. My number four is Ty Lawson and Andre Iguodala. The other AI, I think that Ty Lawson doesn't get enough credit for being a heck of an NBA basketball player. You know, he's our boy from Carolina, so we've definitely been following Ty's career. But I think AI and Ty Lawson make for a great defensive lockdown, steals, and just straight-up man-to-man defense. So I like Ty Lawson as your pure point guard. I like AI as your do-everything guard who can rebound, who can pass, who can assist. He won't have gaudy scoring numbers, but he'll fill up the stat sheet with everything. He'll defend the best wing perimeter player on the other team. He'll let Gallinari do his thing at the three. I like at number four, I like Lawson and Iguodala together.
All right, and my number three, this is actually where I have a tie. So I'm just going to do it quick because I still got to keep it going. At number three, I've got the guys that just won the championship, Dwayne Wade and Mario Chalmers. I think that Mario Chalmers is going to step up, and he's already, you know, just doing it. But I like them defensively, and Wade, to me, is still top three shooting guards in the NBA. They can get buckets. They can defend free throws. Both of them are always up in the league leaders in steals the last couple of years. Chalmers plays great defense, and I just love it. The other team tied with them at three? Dude, it's Milwaukee. I got Brandon Jennings and Monta Ellis. I know you love them. Jennings and Ellis are starting off. Look, Brandon Jennings already starting off the season scoring. He's got four steals a game. He's getting like a 14 assists. He's doing it. Monta Ellis, he's from Golden State, was just a nut with Curry. Monte's just doing it. So for me, that's my tie there, Monta Ellis and Brandon Jennings with
Wade. I don't have Chalmers and Wade up there that high, but I do have Brandon Jennings and Monta Ellis. And I don't know if Brandon Jennings is going to average 13 assists a game like he is so far, but that's a young, really explosive backcourt. They're a little bit knucklehead-ish, and they're a little bit small. But other than that, those two are explosive. I mean, they're number one on the explosive chart. But, yeah, that's my number three as well. So who you got at number two?
All right. Well, let's break it down. It's hard, right? You know, people can say, oh, who's the best, who's one, who's two. For me, too, I got to go with Black Mamba. Steve Nash does not play defense. I don't care. When they get going with whatever head coach they bring in, and as the season and playoffs play out, I think Nash and Kobe are going to be incredible together. I think Kobe has still got that will. I think he still has the eye of the tiger. I think he wants to push for that sixth championship and maybe even seventh. Although I think it's, you know, OKC and Miami in the finals. I think Kobe still can score. I think Nash is still versatile enough to get assists. Free throw shooting percentage is always in the tops of the league. And, you know, pretty much shot like 50% last year. I love what the two of them, when it gets going, could do together. So I got Kobe and Nash at number two.
Wow. So our two and one must be flip-flop, because my two is Deron Williams and Joe Johnson. And the only reason they're not number one is because they haven't played yet together, even though my number one team hasn't been paired together either. But I think that this team is a little bit weak on defense, with Joe Johnson being a little bit questionable as a defender. And even Deron Williams isn't great on defense. I mean, solid defensively. But this backcourt is great. I mean, Deron Williams is your consummate point guard. He's got the big body. He can shoot. He can dribble. He can run a team. And Joe Johnson, you know, for the first time, is not going to be asked, or not for the first time, since he was at Phoenix and played with another great point guard in Steve Nash, he's not going to be asked to carry the load. So he can just do his thing, and then in the fourth quarter, where you need that counterpunch, that's Joe Johnson. And at 6'7", he creates problems. So I love this backcourt in Brooklyn. It may end up being number one at the end of the year, but for right now, I put Deron Williams, Joe Johnson as my number two backcourt.
Okay, well, for me, number one is your number two. We have it reversed. I like Williams and Joe Johnson a lot. You know what I like about them is that you could easily slide them to the two and three, I think, which they can do a lot, and have C.J. Watson play the one. I like the fact that at any given night, either one of them could drop 30. I think they're both going to improve defensively. I think they're both long for their position. And I think they're both solid. I think they will be the key to see where the Brooklyn Nets can go as a top potential six or five seed, seed in the playoffs.
That's
so
for
I
their
like,
front court,
I like them a lot.
Solid
I like Johnson
in Brooklyn,
and Williams.
But these guys are really
no,
good.
No, yeah, they're the ones. So go ahead, who's your number one?
And so my number one, your number two, is Kobe Nash. Steve Nash and Kobe Bryant. I just think that what they've done in the past, Kobe, of course, with his five rings, Steve Nash with his two MVPs, leading the league in assists however many times he has, these guys are just great. A little bit lacking on defense from Steve Nash's point of view, but I think his ability to make people better is going to kick in once he gets healthy, and this is going to be the number one backcourt in the league.
Yeah. So listen, man, some good games tonight. So let's check out. I think the Knicks 3-0 can go to 4-0 and beat the Mavericks at home. So we got to look out for that. Watch those college basketball games. I want to see that Golden State Laker game tonight.
ESPN's got, I think it's Jazz and Hornets later on tonight. So
yeah, a lot of good sports. So yeah, so after the show, get into the sports, guys. We'll talk to you on Monday. Thanks for tuning in, Ray and Tay.
And
had
we will
a great
preview my Steelers and Chiefs. You know, I can't wait for that.
Oh yeah.
Let's
all
go
right,
Giants and win, and the Eagles. Ray and Tay, man.
Had a great time.
Talking sports with friends. We out. Ray and Ray, 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 Ray and Tay Day.